Good morning, Crossline. And good morning to everybody that's watching online. You know, I have my Instagram message out to Matthew McConaughey to come and join us. All right, all right, all right. Wouldn't that be cool if Matthew McConaughey came to the men's retreat? So we're finishing up a series called Outpouring. I'm really excited about what God is going to speak to us. And as pastors, you're like, okay, where do I start? What should I start talking about to kind of lay the groundwork for what God really wants to do and say? And so I decided we're going to start this message in one of my favorite places, the kitchen. Anybody else spend a lot of time in the kitchen? You know, you find yourself in the kitchen when you don't intend to be in the kitchen. You know, like you wake up and you're in the kitchen. You wake up to go to the bathroom. You're in the kitchen. All right, people, there's a nice living room space area, but where does everybody get together and talk? In the kitchen, right? And when you're in the kitchen, there's dishes that are like core to your menu. Pasta, right? Pasta core to your menu. Anybody else like me? You like pasta? You like Italian? Is Italian your culture country like it is mine? Where you just love all the pasta. And you know, here's the thing about pasta. There's different types of pasta, right? There's fusilli, there's penne, there's rigatoni, there's farfalle. You know there's 350 names for pasta? Oh, types, not names. Wait till I get to names. But because there's 350 types of pasta, there's four times as many names. For example, farfalle is also, I heard somebody say bow tie. That's correct. Why? Because it looks like a bow tie, right? Or if you start going like this with the farfalle pasta, it looks like a butterfly, all right? Four times as many names. Now, hang in there. I'm getting there. So before you can actually create the vision of your spaghetti and meatballs or your lemon piccata, you know, pasta, or your linguine and clam sauce, right? You gotta first do what? Come on, all you cooks. Yeah, you gotta boil the water, right? So you gotta actually change the nature of the pasta, but then if you step back from that, you gotta change the nature of good old-fashioned H2O, right? And so I know what you do. You do what I do. You like go to that part of your kitchen and you pull out that bigger pot because it's gotta hold stuff, and you fill it with water, and then it gets really exciting. What do you do next? The flame hits the water, and then the process of making steam happens, and then you're just like, come on, I'm hungry, let's go. And then you see the little bubbles start trickling up, and then the little bubbles get bigger, and then all of a sudden, right, the surface tension of the water cannot hold the steam that is rising, and you get a boil, which now you can cook the pasta, and you can create the meal. For what purpose? To consume it. Now, some of you are like, why are you talking about this? If I wanted to watch the Food Channel, I have that at home, all right? I came this morning to hear about Jesus, all right? Well, you gotta intentionally transform things to achieve this creative vision, right? And I did it with pasta and cooking pasta because there's like a big vision and it's like, you know, linguine and clam sauce, right? But there's transformation processes before you get to the creative purpose. So will you say this with me? The process has a purpose. Okay, that's, if you don't take anything away from this morning, you're gonna take away that. The process has a purpose. Just like we intentionally transform the simple nature of water to accomplish this release of energy, so that we can accomplish this creative purpose called a meal. God makes you the object of his transformation. He applies the agent of the Holy Spirit in your life. Wanna know why? Because he has a creative vision and purpose for what he wants to do in your life. You know, my little water analogy, that's the object. The flame is the agent of change. The time and the steam is the process. Boiling water. In God's economy, he sees you, he wants to transform you. To transform you, he saves you, and you decide to receive him as your Lord and Savior. And then when that happens, He pours his spirit into your heart. So there's the agent of change. And then time and process, and then you transform. But do you know he has an end game for you individually and for us as a church? And that's where we've been learning for the last 4 weeks, seeing the process and purpose of the Holy Spirit, seeing his transformation that is leading to overflow. And that's the name of the message. Transformed to overflow. Say that with me. Transformed to overflow. Right. We're all in process. Amen. We're all works in process. Amen. God is doing things in us as believers in Jesus. So he's applied the change agent of the Holy Spirit. And now we're morphing and changing. But guess what? He has an end game. And it's overflow. And we read about that in the book of Acts. We see what overflow actually looks like. And if you have your notes, take those out, and we're gonna put Acts 2:47b on the screen. It's weird. We're splitting a verse in half, all right? Because Pastor Jordan, it's like, you know, and all the teachers up to this point, they've been driving all the way from Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to Acts 2:47a, all the way to get to Acts 2:47b, because that's the overflow of the transformation. Let's read it together, ready? And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Think about the progression here, all right? There is a filling of the Holy Spirit in verses 1-4. And then think about the process after that. People are activated to action. They're moved to surrender. They're united in community. And then when they're in community, all this stuff happens. Right, and I put on your notes this process because I want you to see that that is God's process with you right now, all right? To fill means to put into as much as can be held, to supply with the full complement, to cause to what? Swell, right? Then once you get to the swell part, now we start to go to the overflow part, right? That's to fill a space, and you're the space, to capacity, and then spread beyond its limits, right? And then let's look at spread. What's that? To expand over a large area, to extend the range or incidence of something, to make widely known, to spread. So everybody say fill, overflow, spread. That's what's happening with you. If you know Jesus, he's filling your heart. He's filling you with salvation. He's filling you with transformation. He's filling you with joy. He's filling you with the fruit of the Spirit. He's filling you with change. He's filling your mind with new ways to think about things. He's filling you. And he wants to fill you to such a capacity that he then wants to overflow and then to spread. And that's what we're looking at right here. The early church, they were just a bunch of individuals just like us. They lived daily lives just like us. But then he got into ordinary people and they started to do extraordinary things in community. And then it started to spread. And church, that's our purpose. That is our purpose. We're not here for the Holy Spirit just to come into us and for the kingdom of God to bless us. The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, is in us to come through us, amen? To a world that is dark and desperate and lost and godless. Because they're working with jars that hold no meaning, just keeps leaking out and they stay thirsty. And we're gonna get to that. You see, filling, overflow, spread was always the goal with Jesus. We read about that in John chapter 7, early on in the Gospels. Jesus is speaking prophetically. In other words, he's talking about something that's gonna happen in the future. And listen to the context, how he puts it. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone," everybody say anyone, "anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in were later to what? Receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So Jesus is talking about the passage of scripture that we're actually reading at this moment, but it's not yet. But it was always the end game. It was always the plan. Filling, overflow, spread. through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we've been learning about the last 4 weeks. That's what you've been learning about in your community groups. That's what we've been preaching about. And then when we get a little closer to that moment of overflow and spread, listen to what Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Let's read that together. Ready? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So there are three things that we gotta see right now if we're to experience the filling, overflow, and spread of the Holy Spirit. The first thing is, Jesus is prophesying Holy Spirit filling of us. You gotta be filled. You gotta be filled. JP really did a great job in week one, just kinda talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit and filling. When a person becomes a believer, they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? What does that mean? It means they're immersed in Christ, right? And it's an initiation into the family of God. And once baptized in the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you. Doesn't matter how you feel, by the way. If you're a believer and you believe in Jesus, some days I feel very Christian, other days I feel very hedonistic, all right? Some days I feel like a great follower of Jesus, other days a crummy follower of Jesus. But it doesn't matter how I feel, the Holy Spirit is inside of me forever. Everybody say forever. Forever. However, there's a difference between baptism and filling. We're baptized once at salvation, we're filled many times. It's just like an app on your phone. It's on the phone, like Google Maps, but I have to activate and listen to it, right? I have to connect with it to take advantage of it and use it. That's like filling of the Holy Spirit. Every day I wake up, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, control me. Can we say those things? Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, control me. Not a bad way. It's just like going boop on an app. I got it, but I need to connect and listen and partner with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is prophesying about Holy Spirit filling of us. Secondly, he's prophesying Holy Spirit transforming of us. A Christian is not a static creature. A Christian is a transforming person. A Christian is a growing person. A Christian isn't the way they used to be. That's why the Bible says, if any person's in Christ, they're what? A new creation. That's right. God is creating you anew. You are spiritually reborn. You now know God and you're learning his ways and you're applying his ways and you're talking to God and you're walking with God, right? And you're learning what it means to live life connected to your maker. A Christian is a transforming person. And Jesus, here in the Gospels, he's prophesying about Holy Spirit filling, Holy Spirit transforming. But here is the coolest thing ever. He's also prophesying about Holy Spirit overflow by us. And this is what God is speaking. Because we've talked about the first two, filling and transforming. Now we're talking about overflow. And when I come and I'm thinking about what I'm gonna say, I'm thinking about what I'm saying in light of what God is doing and what God wants to do. I'm just not giving a message for information. I'm giving a message for transformation and what God is doing right now in our midst and what he wants to do. And what he wants to do is he wants to come into your life, he wants to fill you, he wants to transform you, and then he wants us individually and as a community to overflow and spread. That is why we're all here, if you didn't know. That's the purpose. That's what's going on. That's what's in his mind. And Jesus portends it. He prophesies it. They can't understand everything at that time, but they will when they give their lives to Christ fully and the Holy Spirit comes in. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, okay, now I'm getting it, Lord. So we look at his community and the moves of the Holy Spirit. Now I just wanna take you to the nearest snapshot that we've had, which was last week, Acts 2, right? 42 to 47a, because I'm 47b, all right? But if we look at the coming of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2, 41, the filling, the activating, the surrendering to Christ, when the good news is preached, and then they start uniting in community, right? That's when we get to verse 42. What happens when we get to verse 42 and 47? Instead of reading the scripture Pastor Jordan did an amazing job last week kind of unpacking that. But there are some dynamics of what happens when we unite in community. And if you want to be a part of a church, and you want to, this church, and you want to know what we're all about in community when we unite, these are the things. Write these down. The process that starts going on when God's people are united in community goes like this. First, there's devoting and depending. Write that down. Devoting and depending. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, right? And to prayer and fellowship and breaking bread. They're devoting themselves to some disciplines and they're depending on God in prayer, right? What are we doing here? What's this all about? We're devoting ourselves to God's word. We're developing some spiritual habits and disciplines in community, and we are depending totally on God to save us, to transform us, to fill us, to overflow through us, and to spread the knowledge of Jesus through us. So there's devoting and depending going on. Then there's caring and connecting, or connecting and caring. It's connecting and caring, right? They're getting together just like we get together. They get together on the weekends at church. It's called temple courts. Then they get together in small groups in people's houses. That's called house to house. And what do they do there? They do what Christians do. They eat. They eat. Christians are really good at eating, by the way. Sometimes too good at eating. But they get together and they have fun, you know, and that's a kind of to reflect back on that. What did Jesus do when he wanted to connect with people and get intimate with them? He said, Zacchaeus, I'm eating at your place tonight. What are you serving up? Linguine and clams, spaghetti and meatballs, or chicken piccata? I know you can cook, but start by boiling the water and then I'll make a message out of it. So they start connecting and they start caring. And then you read in Acts 2, 42 to 47a, that all of a sudden they're really generous with each other. They start sacrificing, they start giving stuff. They start giving things away. They start saying, they start asking a question that, by the way, we should ask everyone in our context. And here's the question. What do you need? What do you need? And then make yourself the answer to the question after they answer it. I'm like, what do you need? And then all of a sudden, all these needs start popping up. And it's like, I got that, I got that. You don't have it, but I have it. You don't have it, but he has it. You don't have it, but they have it. You don't have it, but that family has it. That's how Christian community works. That's filled and empowered and spreading in the power of the Holy Spirit. So everybody say devoting and depending. Say connecting and caring. And now say worshipful and grateful. Yeah, because then it ends, it says, then after they were all together and they're depending on God and they're devoting themselves to church and being in people's homes and meeting each other's needs, you know what that produces in them? They start praising God. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. When you're enjoying the favor of anything, all right, what does that mean? It means you're enjoying the blessing of God. What does that mean? It means you're grateful. Anybody ever been blessed by God? Are you grateful? Man, when God touches your life and he does for you what you couldn't do for yourself, he brings a solution, he changes someone's heart, he brings an answer from a distance maybe. Maybe you can't do it physically, but then God sends someone to be the answer for someone you love. Wow. So many instances in my life. So I wanted you to see that there's the process, but here's what I really want you to see, and that is the purpose, because the process has a very good class. I'm gonna let you out 5 minutes before the bell. No, I'm not. So the process has a purpose, right? And the purpose is, write this down, we talked about it a little bit, is overflow and spread. Right? And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being. Did you hear that, everybody? Did you hear that online? Did you hear that out on the patio? The Lord added to their number daily, all right? Not weekly, not monthly, not at Christmas, not at Easter. Daily, those who are being saved. Want to know why? Because daily was going out through the community. Daily was going out into big and little spaces in the community. Daily was going out in the context of everyday life. The overflow wasn't some magic anointing where everybody went, I see God and Jesus is his son and he loves me, but he's perfect and I'm imperfect. And he came and died for my sins and I should say yes to the person and work of Christ. That's not how it worked. God could have done it that way, could have wrote it in the sky. Believe in my son, Jesus. He decided to do it a better way. He decided to fill people, empower people, save people, transform people, who then became salt and light. Say salt and light. Salt and light. Salt by contact, because for salt to be good, it's got to make contact. And light by contrast. And in making them salt and light, they went into the mix and they started winning people to Christ. The overflow was them. See, as pastors, our job is to equip you for overflow. The end game is not, hey, let's fill your head with a bunch of religious information so that you can feel all spiritual, right? Although we feel spiritual when we get into God's word and he talks to us, right? The purpose is to equip you so that you can overflow into spaces where we're not. I don't have your spaces. You don't have the spaces next to the person next to you. They have their spaces, you have their spaces. We all have spaces, all right? I sound like the gal from Rocky. What's her name? We all have gaps. Remember when Rocky says that? We all have gaps. Well, certainly we all have gaps. But guess what? You have spaces that I can't get into. We're gonna get into that in just a second. So now, where are we going with all this, folks? Where are we gonna go with the first 4 weeks? Where are we gonna go with Acts 2, 1 through 47a, now that we're at B, and the purpose is overflow and spread? Well, let's talk about that by talking about what it means to be an overflowing follower, okay? We're gonna look at some key things, gonna unpack some things, and then I'll get you out of here. And the overflowing follower says to themselves four things, all right? If you wanna be an overflowing follower, all right? First thing you say is, I'm available to God in my context. Write that down. I'm available to God in whose context? My context. That's right. What's your context? Because without context, nothing's meaningful and God does things on purpose. Your context is your unique set of places and people that are connected to your life. That's your context. So can I ask you a question, and can you in your mind kind of roll over your context, your unique set of places and people connected to your life? Might have a family context. Maybe you got a work context. Maybe you have a neighborhood context, right? Unique places with different kinds of people connected to your life. You know what? Your context isn't my context. And I can't overflow in your spaces. Guess who's commissioned to overflow in your spaces? You. That's right. That's why when you want to adventure with God, get a hold of that one, and man, you're on the adventure of a lifetime, where you're walking into spaces and you have no idea. It's just like, yeah, I'm here. Well, if I'm here, God's purpose is here. If God's purpose is here, then I better make myself available. I got a couple scriptures for you. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says this, but we have this treasure, circle that, in jars of clay, circle that, and then connect the two. And here's the payoff, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So Paul, the apostle, is coaching up the Corinthian believers, just like we're getting coached up right now. And he's just going, guess what? You're a jar of clay, right? Jar of clay in that time, I mean, there's a million jars of clay in Paul's culture. There's a billion jars of clay. And they break easily, and some of them are cracked. Isn't it great that God can use jar pots, right, that hold something very precious and powerful? Why? It's the contrast. The attention does not go to the vessel. Where's the attention and focus on? The treasure. Just like my wife is in jewelry and she opens a lot of boxes for people, right? The box, the attention, none of it goes to the box. But the box is a context the velvet, the black, the reveal. I know all the engaged guys are just like, man, I'm thinking about that right now. But it goes to the diamond, the precious possession inside. Can I just tell you something, brother and sister in Jesus? You're like that box. You're like the context. But God wants to open you up. And he wants to reveal what's inside of you in your space with the people that you know and love, the people he's called you to come in contact with. That could be a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a wife, a husband, a son, a daughter, a neighbor, a coworker. It could be somebody you don't even know yet. Could be a barista. Could be like the person who's on the rower next to you at the gym. I don't know what your space is, but God is asking for you, the jar of clay, holding the precious possession to show. Everybody say to show, to show. Now you have to see this. But we, believers, have this treasure, Jesus, in a jar of clay to show what? That this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. God wants you, the jar of clay, to show his all-surpassing power and that it's from him, and people will see because you're just a regular jar of clay, but you hold this precious possession. His name is Jesus. By the way you live, the way you talk, the way you spread, the way you overflow. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy 2. It's another kind of idea, picture. See if you can pick it up. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Let's finish it together. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. What does that mean? It means that you'll be available to be used by God. You're in a process of transformation. You're cleansing yourself from the old you, and it's being replaced with the new you. And then you're saying, hey, God, use me. I'm your vessel. I'm available. Very dangerous prayer, by the way. If you wake up in the morning and you say, God, use me. Let's practice. Let's say a prayer together, very short. Say, God, use me. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. If you prayed that and you meant it, watch out. Because there's two words, use, that's what the culture does. The culture uses and abuses people. People are feeling used and abused and divided because people are focused on themselves. Culture uses people. The world, the flesh, the devil use people, beat up people, injustice. And then there's me. Boy. Self-importance, self-preservation, self-gratification. So if you take those words separately, you can really feel what's going on out in the spiritual battle. People being used, the focus being on self. But when you put them together, God takes, right? God takes things and he redeems even words. And we just redeemed use and me, and we said, God, use me in Jesus' name. That's powerful. And that will be powerful if you pray it and mean it every day. So I'm available to God in my context, my unique set of people and places connected to my life. Secondly, the overflowing follower says, I am prayerful to God in my context. So it's one thing to say, hey, you know, God, I'm available. Use me. It's another thing to have your comms on. You know, in war, there's comms, you know? And the first thing that gets attacked in war is not people, it's communication. Because if you can't communicate, you can't strategize. If you can't strategize, you can't advance in war effectively. So that's why we destroy communications in war first before we start going after the bad guys. But the believer, the overflowing follower who's filled and who's overflowing and who's spreading and expanding Jesus to the world is prayerful in their context. Let's read Colossians 4, 2, and 3 together. Ready? Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ. So yeah, you're available. You're that jar with that precious possession, that power to show God to the world. The attention is not on you. It's not about you. It's about who's inside you, right? And then you're doing your life in your context, your unique spaces. And so you're aware that God wants to use you. But then while you're there in that space, maybe you're standing in front of somebody and maybe God's calling you to prayer for that person. Maybe God's calling you to prayer for the people that you're servicing at work. Maybe God's calling you to pray for your neighbor that you see across the fence. Maybe God's calling. And what are we praying to God for? We're praying and asking God to open to us a door. Now, I want to just take you there for a second because opening a door is a welcoming thing. It's not a scary thing. Amen? You go, knock, knock, knock. Come on in. Does that feel awkward or unnatural to anyone? No. Then why do we make it awkward and unnatural? We kind of load it up. It's like, well, I'm not a pastor and I'm not a professional, you know, minister, or I don't know the Bible well enough. No, God's just asking you to be welcoming and to be available and to be prayerful and to pray that God would open a door for you, maybe to have a conversation with someone that's in your sphere of influence. And I like the language here. It says keeping alert in it. Man, what would happen if every person listening to my voice in here, out on the patio, down at the chapel, was staying alert and kind of aware and on comms? They're available and they're praying and they're talking to God, and then God's gonna open a door. And they have this sense like, God wants to use me. I have my little context that I go into throughout my day that nobody else has. And I'm talking to God, God, would you use me? You know, the best person I know on the planet who does this is Jordan Gash. Anybody know Jordan? He is amazing in this regard. He was telling me the other day, I went to the doctor and, you know, and in Jordan's style, he would say, Lord, it'd be great if I could have a gospel conversation with my doctor. So he's available, he's in the space, and then all of a sudden he starts telling me about how he got into this conversation and it was like as natural as breathing. Wasn't weird. He goes, Kenny, and the doctor actually sat down and started pouring out things that were inside him. Come on. But it wasn't because Jordan tactically planned to use certain words and become medical, you know, so that he could earn the respect of the doctor, so that he could have a conversation with the doctor. All he said was, God, I would love to have a gospel conversation with my doctor. And he was available. So the overflowing follower is available, prayerful. Third, the overflowing follower says to themselves, I am faithful to God in my context. I'm faithful. Jordan, in that instance, he was faithful. So he can be available, he can be prayerful, but at some point, you gotta be faithful. You gotta open your mouth, you gotta show up in a certain space. Maybe you just say, hey, how are you? Maybe that's being faithful, and then how are you opens a door. How are you opens a lot of doors. Can you guys say, how are you? Thank you, I'm fine, how are you? That opens a lot of doors. And then you stay and you listen, but you prayed, use me. You're not trying to use the person, and you're not self-absorbed. You're available. You have this all-surpassing power in that jar of clay of yours, and it's starting to come out. Gotta be faithful. Look at what Jesus says about like moments where we have to decide to overflow. Look at what he says. Let's read it together. Words of Jesus. Ready? Mark 8:35. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. You see, God gives us all moments when we can choose to focus on ourselves or focus on our purpose. God says, I'll take care of that self you're all worried about if you let me, so that you can be free to focus on someone in front of you because they're your purpose. Amen? That's the whole thing. If God's the, you know, CEO of everything and the chief operating officer of everything and the supplier of everything, then we should relax When we're all worried about what we don't have and what's not going on in the future and all that stuff, he's got all that. What's the impact of having a God that big and that loving and that wise? It's that you're free in the moment in a small space to say, God, use me. And God, I'm available to you. And to take a risk and say, how are you? How's it going in your life? How you doing in all this COVID stuff? Boy, there's a follow-up that I guarantee will open some doors. All right, how are you? How's it going in all this COVID stuff? How have you handled the last 2 years? God has provided on a silver platter doors aplenty for the people of Crossline Church and for Christians worldwide. All we have to do is say, how's it going? What's your experience been like? And they will tell you. They will tell you what's inside of them. And most often they will tell you that it's been hard. It's been anxious. There's division. There's division in a family. It's split people. I didn't go outside for a long time. You know, they'll let you know. Got to be faithful. Look at what God's word says about taking a risk when you're in a moment to focus on another person for Jesus' sake. Look at what it said. My righteous one will live by faith. Everybody say by faith. I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and destroyed, let's finish it together, but to those who have faith and are saved. How many parents had kids that you taught to swim? Raise your hand. So the kid is on the edge right here, and you're in the water right here. And what are you saying? Jump. And the fact that they don't is offensive. Like what? You don't think I'm big enough to catch you? You don't think I can swim? You know, what's the deal? Well, they need to have an experience doing that first before they really believe it. And they might just get up the courage and they might just bend their legs and they might just jump into your arms. And then you're delighted that they trust you. Way to go! All right, let's practice underwater breathing. Isn't that so fun? I wish I had film of what I did with my kids in the pool. My wife would arrest me for child abuse. But the pool is a great place. All right, back to the message. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed. But we belong to those who believe and are saved. The person who seeks to save their life, focus on themselves, worry about themselves. God's not big enough to take care of it in the moment, so I can't trust you, God, because if I trust you, then I can't control it. So I'm just gonna keep focusing on myself while this person is really hurting and lost and not gonna spend eternity with God. Wow, boy, I just terrified myself. Or you're big, you got me, you love me, I'm your child, all that's yours is mine, your timing is perfect. If I don't have something now, it's because you have a good purpose. I rest in that. I know where I'm going. My sins are forgiven. I'm good. I'm secure in your love. You got me. So I now am free to be faithful to you and serve another person. What if Crossline Church did that? See, that's why I'm talking about this, because you're gonna go do that. I can't do that for you. I'm like an offensive lineman. I hate to bring up the subject of football because I was at the Rose Bowl yesterday, but that's another subject for another time. All right? But I'm like, we're like Pastor Greg, your pastors, we're like offensive linemen. What do offensive linemen do? They throw blocks. They create spaces, all right? They call them the big uglies. If you were reading your devotional for Outpouring, Grant Gustafson said he was a big ugly. Grant's a very large human being, if you haven't noticed. He was an offensive lineman. But our job is to equip you and throw blocks and get you to this place where you would say to yourself in a moment with another person, I'm gonna take a risk for God. It's an intelligent risk and it's an intentional risk because I know who I am and I know my purpose, amen? See, that's who we are and it's supernatural. Yes, it is. So we're faithful in the moment. Lastly, the overflowing follower, which is the purpose of everything we've been talking about in Acts chapter 2, is I am watchful to God in my context. You see, you're gonna have opportunities flow in and out of your life. You know, you'll be in one opportunity and then that opportunity will come and maybe you'll plant a seed there. Then you get into another opportunity and maybe it's low-hanging fruit. Maybe the person just like, I'm so sad, I don't have purpose and I need God. You know, that's a kind of a sign when someone's saying that. Like for you to go, well, I can help you with that. I know Jesus. Have you ever prayed a prayer to receive Christ into your life? No. Would you like to? Yes. Now, I'm being dramatic and a little comedic. I have said that to hundreds of people and gotten an affirmative answer, and I'm still batting 1,000. See how much stuff's going on around in people's lives and hearts where if you would just say, gosh, you know, but I have a friend right now. He just texted me. He said, Kenny, for the first time in my life, I'm thinking of taking my life. I've known this guy since he was 12. I'm thinking about taking my life. I'm so lonely. I need help. I need God's help. My other high school buddies were trying to get him to the men's conference. But he has a brain scan at Stanford on October 8th. He might not be able to come. You see what I'm saying? You know, you are the one. Like, I see that. Like, okay, I know Tim. I'm right there. I'm in his life. I have to be watchful. Look at what Jesus said, Mark 14:38. Jordan mentioned this in his message. Let's read it together. Ready? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I am here with you right now, and we're all fired up about God filling us, God overflowing out of us, spreading the knowledge of him through us. We're thinking about our context, all the people and places that he's put us in to be salt and light, salt by contact and light by contrast. And so that we can glorify God and show that this all-surpassing power is from God. That's the end game. That's what Jesus wants. That's what the word of God calls for. That's your identity. That's your energy. Now, we need to be diligent in that. It's not like an event. Wow, I was really mindful and available and prayerful and faithful today, but tomorrow I'm gonna watch some football. Or I'm gonna do stuff for me. No, this is a continuous process. You have to be disciplined, you have to be diligent, or you'll fall into this temptation where you're willing to do it, but your flesh is weak, and that's true of all of us. So we have to encourage each other. That's what's the value of community. That's why we're having this conversation, is that I can get lazy and you can get lazy. We can all get lazy, all right? But yet God calls us to diligence because we have what the Bible calls a vapor. It's here 1 second, it's gone the next. That's your lifespan. That's how God sees your lifespan. We think it's like, oh man, I can't wait to go to the Lord. No, God says you have a very short time. What you do on earth transfers over into eternity. So we gotta be watchful. We gotta keep our radar on versus what? Keep it off. I was on a plane coming back from speaking. I was going from Chicago to Quebec. And it was this little puddle jumper plane, which I don't like. This guy gets on and I'm like praying the worst prayer ever. God, would you keep the seat next to me empty? And just when I pray that, this guy with a pocket protector and all these pens right across here, he comes to me and I'm just waiting for him. I'm just like, he's coming to me, he's coming to me, he comes to me. And he turns around and he goes, that's my seat. And so now I'm just like, Lord, I'm sorry. I really didn't mean that. If you wanna open a door for me. So, I said, hey, where are you going? He goes, I'm a professor at the University of Quebec. I said, what do you teach? He goes, chemistry. Mm. I'm like, how are the students these days, you know? They need to learn how to work a little harder. Yeah, I agree. So we get to talking. He did his undergraduate work at Dartmouth. He found out I was a pastor. He said, you know, my roommate at Dartmouth seems to be kind of like one of these guys out there in Christianity. His name's Dinesh D'Souza. And I went, did you say Dinesh D'Souza? And he goes, well, let me tell you what he's up to. And I reach into my backpack and I pull out this book and it has Dinesh D'Souza's name on it. And I said, what's so great about Christianity? By Dinesh D'Souza. So I'm talking with Dinesh D'Souza's roommate from Dartmouth, where he did his graduate work on a puddle jumper to Quebec. And I had the worst attitude. That's terrifying. Like in every way. But I'm glad that I had, you know, the little attitude adjustment. you're gonna have attitude adjustment too. Because you're gonna be tired, worn out, and someone's gonna come and plop in front of you, and you know what? Behind their presence is a purpose. Say that with me. Behind their presence is a purpose. Isn't it cool to live like that? To know that wherever you are, whoever you're with, whatever space you're in, God has a purpose for you. Let's read Hebrews 12:11. It's on your notes. Next verse says this, let's read it together, ready? No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. So yeah, you're gonna have to stay disciplined. So church, what is God saying to us as we have studied Acts chapter 2, as we've gone through 4 weeks of outpouring? Jesus is saying it's time for the harvest. It's time for the harvest. You know, when we stay disciplined in the things that God has us on, it says it yields a harvest, right? Write that down. Time has come for harvest. And here's Jesus talking about the obvious in his time, and he's speaking it now to us prophetically through time. I want us to read the words of Jesus together. Ready? Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Your context, the places and people connected to your life are ripe for harvest. The question is, are you gonna fill, are you gonna overflow, and are you gonna spread? Let me close it out with this before I pray. Jesus said, as long as it is day, we must work the works of him who sent me, for night is coming when no man can work. Let's pray. Father, you told us very specifically you would take these vessels that frankly weren't that attractive. We were sinful, broken, some of us in a million pieces, and yet you put us back together again, and you put this all-surpassing power, this treasure, and his name is Jesus, in a jar of clay to show people how loving you are, how powerful you are, and then that you would use us. Lord, I know that at the other end of my voice are people, their jar doesn't have the precious possession, but they would like for that treasure and precious possession to come into their lives. His name is Jesus. And so if that's you and you're ready to fill your life with Jesus Christ and become an overflowing follower, just say these words. Jesus, today I open the door of my life and I'm welcoming you into every space of my life. Fill me, Jesus. Lead me, Jesus. Control me, Jesus. Thank you for your sacrifice, which cleanses me from my sin and restores relationship with my Maker. I'm deciding today to be a vessel for you. Use me to overflow to my world with your love. Jesus, thank you that you let us know that it's urgent. We don't have unlimited time. In fact, we have limited time and unknown ending and a scheduled meeting with you. But between now and then, I pray for every overflowing follower that they would serve you and that they would be salt and light in your name. And everybody said, amen.